Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host here in Washington, D.C. It's been 2 months since Sooronbay Jeenbekov assumed presidency in Kyrgyzstan. Elected as the former Kyrgyz president Atambayev's man, 2 months on, where he stands today? Did the assumption prove true? Also, is he or his policies any different? What has new President Jeenbekov accomplished in his first 2 months in office? Any clarity on where he is headed? This is what we plan to discuss in coming 30-40 minutes. So without further ado, let me welcome my guests. To discuss all these from Bishkek, I'm joined by Medet Toliganov. He is an assistant professor of international and comparative studies at the American University of Central Asia. From Istanbul, Turkey, Mehra Ritman is with us, who is the Central Asia researcher at the Human Rights Watch. From Prague, Bruce Panier is joining us, who is the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlak Awazi. Colleagues, welcome on board. So 2 months on, Medet, what did President Jeenbekov accomplished? I will ask all of you the same question, focusing on your areas of expertise. So let's start with you, Medet. Tell us, please, keeping the function of the government and political atmosphere in mind.
He didn't have any major political actions taken during this period. He's just trying to show himself and show up as a person who is hardworking, coming to work at 7:30 in the morning and trying to show that he's a hardworking person. And of course, in terms of some major political decisions, what he is facing now is trying to design this new strategy, actually, which is like a leftover of his predecessor's legacy, to create the so-called strategy of new vision for the country until 2040. And at this point, of course, there is certain, not so say tension, but he has to realign his actions with the position of a prime minister, which has been also discussed quite long in terms of how these two will work under the new changes in the constitution, right, which were adopted in December of 2016. And that so far happens in between, behind the closed doors, what they are trying to deal with each other as two people in more or less powerful positions. And then there is another issue, of course, how he is dealing with the new personnel. That's also a sign of whether he's considered to be still like a puppet of the previous president or not, because seemingly he's still surrounded by appointees from the past. And even just recent speeches by his chief of staff, who just commented by Farid Niyazov that the long-expected convention of the Social Democratic Party, headed by previous President Atambayev, and would be held whether in January or now it postponed to April. Even these comments of chief of staff of President Jeenbekov, who is commenting that ex-president Atambayev will be speaking and will be seemingly appointed as and reappointed as a leader of the party at that convention, somehow puts the current incumbent president in a bit awkward position. And that still, I think, signifies this situation. A person who's been 2 months in a position is trying to show himself first as a new personality in highest position in the country to the population. Second, trying to find his own place, first of all, vis-a-vis the prime minister. And third, is somehow dealing, I would say, personnel legacy of the previous presidency. And in the third one, he's quite cautious. I haven't seen his own daring reappointments. He just appointed a couple of people, mostly like advisors, and has not been touching yet nomenclature or creatures of the previous president.
That's very important topic that you touched upon. I was thinking to come to that topic a little bit later, but since you touched it, just to continue with you, politically speaking, in addition to what you just discussed, in addition to what President Jeenbekov might have in his to-do list, he also has inherited various problems from Atambayev. How he's dealing with them? I mean, obviously, you have some of your own points, but when I talk about that, the first thing comes to my mind is the confrontation with Kazakhstan and confrontation locally, like with Babanov, with the opposition figures and all these. Probably you have some few other points to add. Feel free.
Yeah. I think that somehow the previous problems were just resolved by the fact of the succession, because that was expected to be a major obstacle to be removed in regard to the bilateral relations with Kazakhstan once the inauguration happened, and then visits of Jeenbekov first to Minsk during this multilateral meeting. He met with Nazarbayev, and then he trip there, and then it's it somehow resolved. Of course, it didn't leave still this aftertaste of how country becomes vulnerable to various whims of political decisions of our neighbors' leaders. but at least the immediate crisis has been resolved. With political opposition, I think many of the things have been happening under the previous president.
Yeah.
And the whole things and the process was set in motion at that time. So the current president seemingly hasn't been doing himself almost nothing. Because what has been happening with Babanov, well, seemingly the way of trying to squeeze him out politically, and also, well, possibly in terms of his business interest in the country, that many of that was happening before inauguration. And if something's still ongoing nowadays, it's just some, whatever, orders or plan which has been being carried out from the design made many months ago.
Okay. Obviously, Bruce, feel free to add anything you would like to add in this. In addition to that, talking about media, deportation of AFP in Fergana reporters are two recent cases that I remember. How he performed overall in terms of media front?
You know, I'm sure Mira has a lot of things to say about this, too. I would just say, you know, that was... It's something interesting for Kyrgyzstan to have this, because this is all right. I understand that, you know, this is the first transition of power that came through elections that, you know, didn't follow a revolution or anything like that in Kyrgyzstan. And then that's all to the good. But because the earlier transfers of power came after such dramatic events, you know, there was like immediately some change. You know, you had to. I mean, the new guy divorced themselves from the old policies and did everything they could to start implementing new policies. That was true of Bakiyev when he came in. That was true of Rosa Otunbayeva when she came in. And that was even true of Otunbayev at the start to some extent when he came in, and, you know, in 2011. So that was kind of the strange thing about the first 2 months of Jeanbekov, is he seems to just be going, you know, it's like the Otunbayev administration just kind of kept going, except Otunbayev's not there. And we've had, you know, the decision against Narin, Edinov, Aiyib, and Dina Maslova, and Chanara Jakupova, you know, and I was kind of hoping, you know, that they would drop those legal suits against them,
yeah.
You know, that Jeanbekov would step in and say, look, you know, let's not, you know, obviously they got the message that there's limits here. And I didn't see the need to keep carrying this out. You know, I'm sure that Jeanbekov would say he doesn't have any influence or authority over the judiciary, so it wasn't his decision, you know, to uphold decisions that fine these people. What's going to be a crippling blow to them financially, but it would have been good if Jeanbekov had stepped in there. You know, he did, I agree with Meta, you know, that he did kind of put down the problem with Kazakhstan, but it's not like it's gone. I don't see, you know, I look at the Kazakh media too all the time, but it's not like there's a lot of goodwill there like there was prior to the outbreak of this problem, you know, late last year. They don't talk about Kyrgyzstan that much at the moment anyway in the Kazakh media. But I got the feeling that this stuff is not entirely resolved between Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan. There's certainly a lot of people in Kazakhstan that are going to remember what happened. And of course, it'll be worse if, you know, if Otunbayev is reelected the head of his party at the April Congress, then, you know, and he's seen as still being close to Jeanbekov, then a lot of people in Kazakhstan will just look at Jeanbekov as essentially being Otunbayev's creature. You know, there's two things, actually, I'm kind of looking forward to. And one is that Jeanbekov is supposed to meet with the Tajik leader, which would be good, because strangely, that happens to be the worst. The Tajik-Kyrgyz ties are probably the worst in the region after Uzbekistan stepped forward. So that'll be something good. And then it looks like there's going to be a Central Asian summit of presidents, which also could bring something good. That's still a couple months away, you know, but so things could change. But so far, like I said, I don't, maybe because I'm used to seeing more energetic moves on the part of new presidents, I'm kind of let down that he doesn't seem to be doing so much. I understand that he needs to get his presence. He needs to show the people who he is, you know, and as Medit said, he's a hard worker and everything, and get that image up. But I haven't seen him discussing policy changes or what's his vision. What's a Jeanbekov vision of Kyrgyzstan next year, 3 years down the road? I don't know.
Yeah, what is that might be stopping him from being an active? Okay, let's talk about that a little bit later. Before we get into that, Mira, tell us about your observation on human rights and some of the things in terms of freedom of press that Bruce has just touched, where he stands.
Well, actually, to follow on what Bruce was saying, I think President Jeanbekov laid it out himself when he said publicly, maybe even on multiple occasions, that he plans to follow Otunbayev's path and to, on a policy level, to continue what the former president Otunbayev had started. From a human rights point of view, that is worrying if he intends to continue the negative trend that we saw when it comes to media freedoms and freedom of expression that occurred throughout last year. I think Medet pointed out that the verdict on the Supreme Court verdict on the Zanoza and Maria Naib and Dina Maslova and Chopon Jakubova case was upheld on November 30th. You know, and that really, that verdict and the enormous defamation compensation or awards that were handed out, you know, really has a huge chilling effect on freedom of expression in Kyrgyzstan that I think will continue to feel in this initial period, if not for quite a long time to come. I think on one hand, it's still very early to kind of come to any solid conclusions about what President Jeenbekov's position on key human rights issues is going to be. But certainly what we saw last year in terms of the freedom of expression cases, and indeed, you know, the recent ban on Chris Rykelton that happened in December when he wasn't permitted to enter Kyrgyzstan. Chris Rykelton, for our listeners, is the AFP correspondent who has been living in Bishkek for many years with his family now. He was prevented entry into Kyrgyzstan in early December. You know, all of that is very worrying, and I think that Jeenbekov shouldn't waste any time in setting out that he does not intend to continue those negative trends, that he can seize the opportunity that his new presidency affords him to improve the human rights situation rather than to continue that negative spiral.
Coming back to you, Medet, we spoke and evaluated his performance focusing on three distinct topics. Generally speaking, is there anything that makes him stand out?
So nothing stands out during these 2 months of his presidency because, well, he's been somehow as a hostage to the whole transition situation. That his major slogan of campaign was stability, continuation of Atambayev's policy, and so forth. And as such, he just had to continue what has been said by his predecessor. And his just was major, whatever, policy-wise move to declare this year the year of so-called development of regions. Well, maybe somehow it accommodates his own past experience being a governor in the past and coming from one of the southern regions of the country and so forth. And, of course, also trying to address one of the important issues of development. But still, it's not something as a major sideline from the new president about his forward-looking vision. Because the vision of development of the country somehow is not reflected yet. Not clearly in his inauguration speech, not even in that declarement of this year as a year of the development of regions, and not even in this ongoing still discussions of this new strategy of 2040. And that lack of vision has been, I think, something which, to whatever I think good or bad, Atambayev had at least clearly stated what he thinks is Kyrgyzstan and where it's mostly going, foreign policy wise or domestic policy. During these 2 months, Jeenbekov hasn't shown yet anything what he wants to present to citizens of Kyrgyzstan. He is one of the leaders of the nation, where he's heading towards.
Interesting. You know, if I could just jump in, Medet, has he even been touring the country since he's been president, at least visiting the regions, since it's the year of the regions?
I think not, if my memory is not letting me down. No, I think he was not, going, at least not in extensive tours.
Okay, thanks. I didn't remember that either, so I guess it hasn't happened.
How he treats cameras, reporters?
Does he not yet. Maybe just today, because as I already mentioned in the beginning before joining our audience, that due to the unusual low temperatures, schools were cancelled, and he just was one camera moment. And when he met with the Minister of Emergency, and unlike last year's Atambayev's picture in front of the cameras, he was not sitting at his desk, separated by his working desk and an invitee. He was sitting at a side table. So somehow he was trying to show that he's not presenting upfront his authority as a president, although he's trying to show that he's functioning as a president. Whenever something as an emergency happens, he's trying to show that he immediately reacts, and as such, he is quite trying to say that he is quite sensitive to development in the country, but that yet he is not trying to present this utmost power or authority which we've seen in last few years of Atambayev.
Yeah.
Can I jump in just say that we haven't seen it yet, but I think one area that we would welcome President Jeenbekov taking a forward-looking step or a positive step is to reach out to Kyrgyzstan civil society and to reestablish engagement and meaningful dialogue and partnership with civil society actors and human rights defenders, and something that also occurred increasingly over the last year under President Atambayev, the former President Atambayev, was the sort of hostile rhetoric, not just against journalists, but also against some of the leading human rights defenders in Kyrgyzstan. We haven't seen it yet. It's, as I said, it's still early days in the Jeenbekov presidency, but I don't think that there's, you know, that he need wait longer to reach out to, you know, one of the pillars here and engage with civil society activists and let them know that he is open to their criticism and their input and their recommendations. Mm-hmm. That's really an important development. And he could also move by examining the bans in place on foreign human rights defenders and journalists that have come up in the last couple of years now, including my own, and consider those as a way of showing that Kyrgyzstan is serious about continuing on its democratic path. Arbitrarily restricting access to Kyrgyzstan is not a way to do that, and Jeenbekov could mark his presidency by looking at that question.
Are you seeing a signal to say that, or you are just hoping that it should be the case?
No, I'm hoping. I haven't seen that he has reached out to civil society in these 2 months, and I think that there is an opportunity there. Mm. He hasn't seized it yet, but there's no reason why he couldn't in the next few months. Because it's still, you know, when we look back several years from now at this time, 2 months is not very long as president. And if he takes, you know, even in the next weeks or the next months, and takes that very progressive step to say, okay, this is going to mark my presidency is meaningful engagement with human rights activists and civil society actors, that could only benefit, you know, the Kyrgyzstan democratic path.
Yeah, actually, we have a lot to talk yet, but I was also wondering, Bruce, maybe you could jump in here. If you were watching Kyrgyz media, how they present Jeenbekov?
He makes the media. You know, obviously, every day, if you look at the various media outlets, of which there are many in Kyrgyzstan, to be sure, you know, you're going to see something, some story about him or something that he's doing. But, you know, the thing is, he hasn't gone forward and made any big policy speeches or anything like that. You know, he hasn't met it would know better than me. But as far as I can see, he hasn't like shown up at Parliament and addressed Parliament, you know, and said, this is my vision. This is my outline, you know, for where we're going with the country. Although he does seem to have some strategy that I've seen mentioned in the media. But you're the new guy and you're trying to make an impression and show everyone who's in charge and stuff. It's a good time to get out in public and have the media, you know, invite them to come in and say, all right, let me talk to you about where we're going. You know, what I see is the future of Kyrgyzstan and how this is all going to work out. You know, and a lot of high profile visits if he can. You know, I mentioned he hasn't really traveled around the country. Fine, he was campaigning last year, but he won. And so you have to do it again. You know, you got to go out. He needs to go to Talas and tell the people in Talas they're Kyrgyz citizens too. And without mentioning probably the fact that Atambayev said if the people weren't happy, they could move to Kazakhstan. But, you know, just try to say, okay, you know, you're part of the country. And sooner or later, he's probably should address the Uzbek community specifically and individually, especially since he wants better ties with Uzbekistan. They became an unfortunate part of the last campaign. So, you know, he I see that he's mentioned in the media, but certainly not to the extent, say, Atambayev was in August, September, and early October of last year, for example, or even all of October and November. I mean, Atambayev was always in the news. He was always the big news. Jeenbekov's a little more low-key, you know. I mean, there's some reports about him, but it's nothing exciting and big so far.
Interesting. Thank you, colleagues. So this is the reality. Keeping his 2 months of performance in mind, let's discuss a little bit why he did what he did so far and what does his performance so far signals about his future direction. Hey everyone, before we get into the second part of the show, just a quick reminder that if you really like Mejlis podcast, there's a real chance that you will also like my other radio show that's called Gandhara Podcast. The show discusses latest developments in Pakistan and Afghanistan from local perspective. And the podcast is published in every second week on Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's Gandhara website. It's a totally must-follow discussion for foreign policy nerds with interest in the region. Before to continue the discussion, let me recap the debate once more that today on the Majlis we are discussing President Jeenbekov's 2 months in office and what does his performance so far say about the future direction of him and his government. Joining me in the discussion are Mehdet Tolganov, Assistant Professor of International and Comparative Studies at the American University of Central Asia. He is joining us from Bishkek today. Mihra Ritman is with us from Istanbul, who is a Central Asia researcher at the Human Rights Watch. Bruce Panier is with us from Prague, who is the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog called Kishlak Awazi. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, colleagues. So to come back to you, Mehdet, again, during the election process, actually you also alluded to that a little bit earlier. So during the election process, the assumption was Jeenbekov is Atambayev's man, according to some analysts. Therefore, he will be Atambayev's puppet. Is he proved to be so far?
Yeah, at the moment it's quite difficult to say whether it's explicit as a case, but seemingly indeed, at the moment, maybe from one angle, we can say that if the power configuration, it's just about the triumvirate. It's ex-president, incumbent president, and maybe the prime minister. Mm. Of course, the unknown part, it's ex-president, to what extent his promise that he'll remain in politics, how and how far it will be realized. Except, again, what was Bruce mentioned about this ongoing talks about this convention of SDPK, Social Democrat Party, in April, and the possible way how Atambayev reemerges after stepping down from presidency in politics in some way, what his role will be. And seemingly at the moment, Jeenbekov is dealing first, is trying to become fully nationally recognized figure, not just being because he's been elected, but to be up to that position in this presidency. And the second is trying to maybe fulfill whatever tacit or more or less explicit conditions were put between two, the ex-president and the current president, in terms of continuing first policies, second, keeping this structure of people, especially in security-related, the most important positions appointed by the previous president, and to ensure that some of the policies indeed would be carried out further. And third, maybe to what extent he personally may have his own ambitions and when they will be realized, because that will lead maybe at some point to some tension with ex-president. And especially we'll see that maybe when the reappointments and maybe changes of some people around president will start, the heads of the security services, the chief of staff, and some other important positions. But we don't see that so far, which means maybe that at the moment there is still this ongoing process of trying to fulfill obligations for the one who made his victory possible, because if it wouldn't be for Atambayev, Jeenbekov would not have won these elections. And that's more or less clearly understood, I think, by Jeenbekov. In that sense, he is not maybe the word puppet, as I also myself use that, it's not yet that word, but somehow he's trying to keep up to the deal which they made. Mm-hmm. Although the question for me is that, well, how far and for how long the deal will last?
What do you say?
Well, I think let's give half a year, because during that period we'll see something which is not yet known, well, at least for me, that what is the level of his personal ambitions. Second is that what is the level of his own personal vulnerability to match his ambitions. Mira mentioned about the need to meet with civil society, which is ago I talked with someone, a long-working civil society leader, and she was mentioning that, well, it's interesting indeed that all past presidents in the immediately new first years of presidency, they were somehow working with civil society and meeting with them, even Atambayev in 2000, I think, when it was 13, and Bakiyev at some point before constitutional changes in 2007 and so forth. But that, I think, was coming from the position of vulnerability of early presidencies. We need to build some alliances and to reach out to some more or less active and strong leaders of society within civil society, maybe within some part of the neutral political elite, and etc. And whether that will be the case for Jeenbekov, well, I think, again, it depends on his own personal ambitions, how far and when he wants to become more or less standalone and quite active politician. And then I think it will also depend on that structure which was created by Atambayev will reinforce all of that power configuration created and designed by Atambayev, but things will erode naturally, I think. That those who were loyal will become at least neutral and maybe disloyal at some point. So I would give maybe a half a year and then see all of that to come.
Bruce, what's your thinking on this? Like, will Jeenbekov ever will want to be independent from Atambayev? And if that is the case, how the separation will look like?
Well, I would certainly hope that he would want that, without a doubt, because, you know, there are some things that he needs that for Kyrgyzstan's sake, he's going to need to break with some of Atambayev's policies. So I would hope that he would do this sooner rather than later. You know, I mean, we've mentioned that there's going to be an SDPK party Congress or event in April. But and I'd mentioned on a program earlier that given Kyrgyzstan's history, it is absolutely realistic to believe that we're going to have a problem with the Kyrgyz government. I mean, we've gone through nearly 30 prime ministers in 26 years. So one would assume that we're going to have this again. Jeenbekov, when he was prime minister, actually lasted probably longer than anybody else ever had. I'm trying to remember exactly, but he made it for, you know, a year and a half as prime minister. That's not typical for Kyrgyzstan. Now, when the prime minister goes, as Mehmet mentioned, then you have to appoint a new government because you're going to need a new prime minister. I would hope that he would use that opportunity to put some of his people in and maybe give himself some better support within the government to move in a direction that he wants to go into. Because, you know, again, he is following Atambayev's policies. I understand without Atambayev's help, he wouldn't have got in. I'm very happy that Kyrgyz-Uzbek relations are better. I'm not as happy that Kyrgyzstan seems to be, you know, at least under Atambayev at the end, seemed to be throwing its whole future in with Uzbekistan's future all of a sudden. And that's part of the reason they had the problems with Kazakhstan, was because all of a sudden Atambayev said, look, we got a new guy in Uzbekistan. This is going to be my new friend. You know, given Kyrgyz-Uzbek relations over 25 years, it's a little, that's too much of a jump too quick. I don't have suspicions of President Mirziyoyev's motives or anything like that, but I think you're going to have to take this a little slower and make friends with all the people in your neighborhood and not just depend on the fact that Mirziyoyev is the real deal and this is the new friend of Kyrgyzstan, and so Kazakhstan is not as important, which I think Kazakhstan proved. It's very important to Kyrgyzstan. There's a few things like that, and there's some rights issues that he needs to address, which would make him and Kyrgyzstan look better in the international community. Letting Chris Rickleton back in, letting Mira back in, for instance. I mean, Mira was really the prototype of, like, keeping foreigners out. And releasing, you know, possibly giving an amnesty to Azimjan Askarov sometime, the ethnic Uzbek community leader who's in jail. Yeah. These things look good for the international community and look good for Kyrgyzstan's reputation. There's been a lot of talk lately that Kyrgyzstan is no longer the island of democracy. If it is better than the other countries, it's less better than it was a year ago. And this is concerning.
Yeah, can he... Mira,
sorry,
yeah.
Mohamed. Can I jump in on just one quick thing about the Azimjan Askarov case? I think it's not just a question of looking good in the eyes of the international community. Kyrgyzstan took upon itself obligations to fulfill, you know, the UN Human Rights Convention, and there is a UN Human Rights Committee decision that has called expressly on Kyrgyzstan to release Azimjan Askarov and to quash his conviction. The committee found that he had been arbitrarily detained, tortured in custody, and denied a fair trial, and he's been languishing in prison for far too many years, and especially these last 2 years since that decision was rendered down. So I just wanted to sort of underscore that, it would have the added benefit of reaffirming Kyrgyzstan's commitment to international norms in the eyes of the international community. But there's also a responsibility on the part of government to act on that decision. So I wanted to just stress that point.
Yeah, you say that it's too early to pass judgment on how the future of this government or the direction of this government might look like. But based on his performance of the past 2 months, speaking your area of interest, what's your realistic interpretation sounds like or looks like on where he is headed?
Well, unfortunately, over the last 2 months, we've seen mostly inaction on key human rights issues on the part of President Jeenbekov. You know, there hasn't been any sort of definitive shift in policy to suggest that he is going to change course from Atambayev's legacy. And that's disappointing, but it also follows that it is not too late. And Bruce and others in our discussion have laid out some of the steps that he could take to right those wrongs, so to speak. Human Rights Watch sent President Jeenbekov a letter quite early on after he was after he assumed the post of president in December, laying out some of the areas that we would like him to see action on. Both sort of immediate issues relating to freedom of expression and freedom of the media, and Azimjan Askar's case, but also longer-standing issues related to torture and other issues. And that's on our website, and we hope that President Jeenbekov will take those comments in mind as he takes up, hopefully, become more active on these issues. And that's the onus is on him right now to show his constituents that he is going to act on human rights, his obligations that Kyrgyzstan has assumed under international human rights law. He also during his campaign period, as part of his platform, nodded to human rights standards, and we would like to see him fulfill some of those claims that he made. For example, he said that his goal as president would be to create a state where human rights are respected on democratic principles. Well, in 2 months, he hasn't reassured me at any rate that he is really committed to living up to the full spectrum of human rights that Kyrgyzstan has taken upon itself to uphold. So, I don't want to lose hope that it's too late. This is an opportunity. We have a new president in Kyrgyzstan. And he should make good on some of those promises, and at the very least on Kyrgyzstan's international fence and on the human rights front.
Right. Bruce, made it on your thinking, based on the past 2 months of performance that we have seen Jeenbekov in office. So based on that, what is your prediction where he is headed going forward?
Yeah, I think will matter the personal ambitions of Jeenbekov. To what extent he has it, and then how will project that ambition in a short time period? Because maybe 2 first months was too early in his new position, and he didn't have his own plan. Even his first speech in the electoral campaign, after he was declared that he won elections, that even few speeches, that his first speech has shown that he was not ready for the victory. And that maybe somehow marked this whatever insignificance of his stance during this first months. But maybe if he'll build up his own personal ambitions, that will lead to whatever we've been discussing so far. An ability to try to go away from the legacy of Atambayev, maybe trying to show that he's somehow different. Of course, he will not go confrontational, but somehow to distinguish himself. That will be maybe, I think, my major point on this, that his personal ambitions maybe will lead to first trying to show he's different, and the second, he needs to rely maybe on alliances with some new forces, which has not built so far by Atambayev.
But just wondering, what would be the signs that he is trying to distinguish himself from Atambayev or from his policies? So what are the signs we should be looking at?
I think it's his personnel policy. That will be a more or less obvious sign. Uh-huh. But something which will somehow start some difference with some of Atambayev's policies. But I think the personnel decisions will be one of the key and the first signs that he's becoming independent.
Okay, thank you very much, Medet. Let's see, Bruce, what is your thought on that, and what the signs that you will be looking at going forward, whether Jeenbekov is still with Atambayev, whether he's trying to build his own personality. So what are the signs that we should be looking at, whether he is ready to do that?
Certainly he's got to get out in front of the camera and in front of the microphone a little bit more. He's not a charismatic figure. And hopefully that'll change. But when you see him, and even when he speaks, he doesn't look energetic or anything like that. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not. He could actually be that kind of person. He needs to introduce some of his own initiatives. He needs to be enthusiastic in front of the people and try to convince people that he's got ideas that are going to change the country. I mean, Kyrgyzstan, like every country in Central Asia, has a lot of problems that they need to have resolved, economic first and foremost. And he's going to need to present his own ideas, which differ significantly, clearly, from the ideas of Atambayev to move the country forward. I mean, he's carrying a lot of Atambayev's baggage. with him, and he needs to get rid of that as fast as possible. I really look for when the first prime minister goes down, and it's impossible for me to believe that they're going to have the same prime minister for, well, they can't, because they're going to, in any case, they would have parliamentary elections in 2020, and Jane Beckham would still be in, but I doubt that even by the end of this year that'll be true, given precedent in Kyrgyzstan. And when he has a chance to form a new government, he's got to get his own people that he knows and trusts. Let's face it, even his prime minister he inherited from Atambayev, so he's got to get some of his own people in there. He's got to be dynamic, and he's got to show people, I have an idea and I have a vision for your future, and that's why you want me to stay as your president, because I have a plan.
When he does that, what reaction you expect from Atambayev?
Well, hopefully by then it won't matter what Atambayev thinks. If he does this right, then he can keep Atambayev as a friend, and he can be maybe even a consultant. But, no one wants a regent, that's behind the scenes running the country. That's not what they voted for in October, and that's not, the Kyrgyz people. You can't fool them, they've already ousted two other governments, and they've shown that they have a limit to their patience. So you're going to have something to say to them that gives them confidence that their future is probably better leaving you in power some way, even a little bit, but some way that they're better off with you than with somebody else.
With this note, thank you very much, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Central Asia blog, Kishlak Awazi. And big thanks goes to Medet Toliganov, assistant professor of international and comparative studies at the American University of Central Asia, and Mihra Ritman, Central Asia researcher at the Human Rights Watch. Thank you, colleagues, for your time in TATS today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this is from me, Mohammed Tahir, host of the Majlis, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia podcast. Until next week, bye-bye.